The Green Bay Packers look to lock up a spot in the playoffs after taking on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But first, we celebrate the life and legacy of Packers legend Fuzzy Thurston with his grandson, Fred Thurston. It's all coming up on Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central next. Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caribou, joined by our live blog director, Jamie Snow, and along with Alex Talich. We're talking some Packers football. We're getting ready for a game this weekend against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, in which the Packers looking to lock up a spot in the playoffs. But first, our
expert interview.
We have joining us on the phone, Fred Thurston, grandson of Fuzzy Thurston. First of all, Fred, our sincere condolences on the loss of your grandfather, but thank you for joining us here at Cheesehead TV to celebrate his life.
Well, thanks for having me. I truly appreciate it.
Let's start with your name. Even though your grandfather was known by Fuzzy to most people, his given name was Fred. Am I to assume you were named after him?
I was honored enough to be named after him.
Very cool. Assuming you don't go by Fuzzy, though.
No, I don't. A few people in my life have tried to call me Fuzzy, but there's the only one Fuzzy out there.
Well, we'll get to the grandfather you knew in a moment, but first, is there a favorite on-field football moment of yours, whether it's a game you watched or a championship he won? What sticks out to you?
It's hard to really narrow one down. I was lucky to see a couple films. My uncle saved a few. Just seeing him play in that time, you know, when football, I think, was a little bit more real, watching him play and the toughness that he had and just all the different things that they would do, and it was just awesome to watch him. I mean, he was such a great player, you know, coming from a small place and seeing him out there winning championships. It's just fantastic.
Yes, and pardon me, Fuzzy Thurston, Packers offensive lineman during the Lombardi area, or a part of Super Bowls 1 and 2, those championship teams, passed away this past week here. How about any behind-the-scenes stories passed down from his playing days? Maybe something happened in the locker room or when he was out and about with his teammates. I realize I'm putting you on the spot here, but do any memories come to mind?
You know, with on the field, it's not as much. I mean, I think there's always just been different stories of the way they played. I know that it was the off-the-field, you know, chemistry and camaraderie between everybody, and those stories of just being the brotherhood and playing together and you know, fighting in the trenches and stuff like that was, you know, something I always really admire and I enjoy hearing about. You know, one of the funny things is I believe it was the 61 championship. We found the video and we watched it, and right when the play clock ends, you see my grandpa just sprint to the middle of the field to grab the game ball. And we always laugh about it. We always joke about it. Just because we think that might have been actually the fastest he's ever ran. That's something I always kind of joke about with her, or used to joke about with him. And, you know, just that team was just so fun to watch. And, you know, it's hard to come by that those types of teams these days. So
it is, you know, the more things change, the more they stay the same. You know, an offensive lineman who doesn't get to touch the football ever, he's the first guy the middle of the field to touch the game ball. That is fantastic. So tell us about the grandfather you knew, the time you spent with him at family functions, the man most people didn't know outside the football field.
Yeah, I think that's one of the biggest things. You know, there were a lot of people who did get the privilege and honor to meet him because he was such a fans fan. He was always out and about, loved being with fans. But, you know, I was sitting here last night and I was trying to think of a good story that I could tell that would really kind of capture who he was. And one came across, you know, I was about 10 or 11 years old and I had gone down to Florida with my sister for Easter. We used to do that all the time. And we had gone out to eat as a family and we had gotten back to the condo and I had realized I didn't have my retainer. And I started to freak out. I was so nervous. I thought, there's no way I can go home to my mom without a retainer. She's going to be just furious at me. And as a side note, I had maybe lost one or two or four of them prior to that. But I was walking around, pacing around, crying a little bit. And the next thing I know, I hear the brakes squeal, and the door flies open, and my grandpa comes flying through there like Cosmo Kramer. He's got two industrial bags of trash that he had gone to the restaurant and grabbed. And went shoulder deep in, I'm looking for my retainer. And, you know, that's just kind of the guy he was, the grandpa that he was. He could do anything he possibly could to make sure that we were okay, that we were smiling. You know, it's special. You know, he was a special man to a lot of people, you know, on off the field. But what I think people might not know is what a fantastic grandfather, father, husband, friend he was.
That is truly a terrific story, and that is great. We're talking to Fred Thurston, grandson of Fuzzy Thurston, here at Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central on a Friday morning. You mentioned so many people got to meet him over the years because he was a man of the fans. The Fuzzy Thurston I knew, he used to own a tavern in Green Bay named after himself. He would actually make appearances at his own bar. I know I went there on draft day one year before going to Lambeau Field, and there Fuzzy was. I got to shake his hand, take my picture with him, and I know I wasn't the only one with that interaction. I believe he owned a few taverns in his post-playing career. What do you remember about the hand he played as a business owner after his playing days?
Yeah, I remember it really well. He owned a bar called Shenanigans in Alloway. It was pretty much all throughout my childhood, and we spent so much time there. It was almost kind of like a family gathering place. We'd always go there for games and just to go and spend time because he was always there. And, you know, just being around the fans and, you know, running around, playing pool and, you know, meeting people. You don't realize who they were when you're that age. But, you know, I grew up and I look back at it now and I think how much fun we had and how, you know, privileged I was to be able to, you know, rub elbows with the Kramers and the Hornings. And to me, Kramers and the Hornings are family. You know, they're nothing more than my uncles. And, you know, that's something that I always kind of think is neat and people kind of find interesting. And he did have another bar. I know he owned a few bars prior to Shenanigans as well. But I know for my family and me, Shenanigans is always kind of a family place.
Do people find that as you know, awe-inspiring, jaw-dropping, where, you know, if they were to meet Jerry Kramer, they would be, you know, stopping their tracks, but to you, he's just another person?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely weird, and I get it. But, you know, yeah, I still get excited. I'm not going to lie. I mean, you know, such as they are, just an uncle, you still know who they really are, and as I've gotten older, I appreciate it much more, and, you know, they're still family, though, and I think a lot of people find that so interesting that you know, we would have Christmas with, you know, Boy Dollar, Max McGee, and, you know, it was never like, oh, they're coming over and this big celebrity. It was just family spending time together.
That's really cool. I know there's a memorial service scheduled today at Lambeau Field. Can you share the details for people who might be in the Green Bay area interested in coming out? Because it is open to the public.
Yes, absolutely. It's a visitation from 11 to 3 p.m. The service then is at 3 p.m. It will be in the Lammo Field Atrium in the Legends Club Room. We encourage anyone to come, anyone who wants to pay respects and, you know, green Bay Packers attire, you know, dress like you would on game day if you want. You know, and we hope to see a bunch of people. I'm sure we will. He was quite a popular person here in Green Bay.
I'm not in the Green Bay area. I'm from further south in Wisconsin. I'm sad I can't make it, but I hope you enjoy the day and the celebration of Fuzzy's life and career. Thank you for joining us, Fred. But before you go, we always ask our guests on Fridays for a prediction for this weekend's game. Do you have any feeling of what the Packers will do when they take on the Buccaneers this weekend?
Well, I'm going to say it's going to be a win. I know we've had trouble in Tampa. I believe Aaron Rodgers is 1-2 versus Tampa. I think he lost both last meetings in Tampa. So I think it'll be a little difficult, but I think we're going to bounce back from last week. And I'm going to go with 41-20.
Fantastic. Sounds good to me. Fred, again, thank you for joining us. Our condolences. Have a terrific day. I think it'll be a special day at Lambeau Field. And you're welcome at Cheesehead TV anytime.
Well, thank you. And I just want to say thank you to all the fans for sending their love and support over the last few days. It means a lot to us and our family, and we appreciate it.
All right. Great. Thank you. Take care now. Fred Thurston, grandson of Fuzzy Thurston, here at Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central on a Friday morning. Great to get that insight from him. That was truly a fantastic story about him losing his retainer as a child and having his mother furious with him. And here comes grandfather Fuzzy bringing in bags of garbage to go through and finding it to save him the wrath of his mother. That was a fantastic story, and I think that goes to show who the man Fuzzy Thurston really was. And you hear those kind of things all the time. I think if you knew him and you kind of, you know, like I said, going to his tavern, you hear stories about the guy and how nice he was and not just the guy you knew, the mean guy in the trenches on the football field that helped the Packers win multiple world championships over the course of his career. So it's great to hear those stories, and I hope many more of them get shared at the memorial service today at Lambeau Field. But now it's time for
Packers News of the Day.
You know, since our last episode of Railbird Central, we never got to talk about this since Wednesday, but the Packers unexpectedly elected their playoff captains, even though the Packers have not yet even qualified for the NFL playoffs, albeit I think just merely guaranteeing a spot in the playoffs is a mere formality. I think that's a given, albeit not perhaps not mathematically a given or whatever you might want to say. But the Packers representing on offense Aaron Rodgers and Jordy Nelson, on defense Julius Peppers and Morgan Burnett, and on special teams, Randall Cobb and Jarrett Bush as their postseason captains. Kind of a move here that very reminiscent of what Mike McCarthy did the night before the Super Bowl in 2011. Having the players measured for their Super Bowl rings the night before the game. Here is another motivational tactic by Mike McCarthy to fire up this team and get them now in the playoff state of mind, because basically from here on out, it's time to go on a winning streak. yeah, the Packers could still do it if they lose one of these final two games, but you don't really want that now. You want them to get the momentum going now, and they take it into the final weeks of the season and then the playoffs. This reminds me very much of the Super Bowl season in 2010. The Packers absolutely had to win the last two games of the regular season to even qualify for the playoffs. And while it's not quite like that, the Packers still could get in the playoffs even with a loss. But I think, you know, a loss would be so hurtful right now in terms of, you know, what their playoff status is, whether they go, you know, playing at home or on the road, are they a division champion or not? Everything is still in front of the Green Bay Packers right now. They have all these things to accomplish and clinch, and it only gets easier if they win from here on out. And it starts this weekend with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Yeah, it's a team that's 2-12 on the season, but at this point, I don't think you can overlook any opponent because the Packers want to win the division. They want to get a bye in the playoffs. If possible, they want to clinch home field advantage, although that's looking like a rather remote possibility, but not out of the question. But it's only going to happen if they win these last two football games. So the Packers, you know, they're really trying to motivate the troops, Mike McCarthy is, and get this team, you know, ready to blow out the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I don't think they want a close game. They want to just destroy this team and, you know, get back to Green Bay for the regular season finale against the Lions with a lot on the line and have them feeling good about themselves for that game. So Mike McCarthy names the postseason captains. And in fact, I wrote about this at Cheesehead TV yesterday. Kind of read behind the line, between the lines here. Randall Cobb elected as a special teams captain, perhaps surprisingly. I mean, this is a guy who barely plays on special teams. He played all of one snap on special teams last week, a solitary punt return as he splits time with Micah Hyde. In fact, in games against the Eagles and the Patriots, Randall Cobb played zero snaps on special teams. So, you know, why was he voted to represent that unit? Well, again here, read between the lines. Randall Cobb, his role on special teams is about to grow rather immensely. Here the Packers are ranked 31st in the NFL out of 32 teams in kick returns. Running back Dewan Harris ranks last in the NFL among qualified players in kick return average. The Packers need a boost in this department, and you can bet your bottom dollar the Packers are now planning on using Randall Cobb as their kick returner. You know, I've been talking all season, hey, let's break out Jeff Janis. Well, the Packers aren't about to break out the rookie now unless it, you know, absolutely necessary and there's an injury or something like that. But they're going to go with the proven commodity. They're going to go with Randall Cobb, the guy who's done this over the years, the guy who formerly held the NFL record for the longest kick return in NFL history. Remember that game? The season opener against the New Orleans Saints, Cobb's rookie year when he took a kickoff 108 yards, set an NFL record. I believe it's since been surpassed with a 109-yard kickoff return. But still, this is a guy who has three returns for touchdowns in his career. Yeah, the Packers are going to use Randall Cobb rather shortly on kickoff returns and hopefully get the special teams out of the doldrums. You know, they could use help on other units other than just kickoff return, giving up six blocks on the season. Randall Cobb isn't going to help that, but hopefully the Packers get the help of, TJ Lang and perhaps Josh Sitton rather soon on those units if those guys can get healthy enough to be used on protection once again. And you know, they allowed the punt return for a touchdown. They got to tighten things up there. But, you know, it's time to pull out all the stops, I guess is what I'm saying. You know, here they're trying to keep Randall Cobb healthy for a bigger role on offense. Well, push has come to shove in Green Bay, and it's time to go on a winning streak, and they're going to do anything possible to do it, including using Randall Cobb on kick returns. As for this game, you know, here it is, a meeting between the Packers and the former head coach of the Chicago Bears, Lovie Smith, in his first season as head coach of the Buccaneers. So there's some familiarity there. And Lovie Smith, of course, would be wise to kind of the words out on how to defend the Packers with those two deep safeties and doing everything in their power to keep Packers wide receivers in front of them. You've seen it 100 times now. Aaron Rodgers, when facing that single high safety, it doesn't take much for the Packers to beat that. All of a sudden, you see a wide receiver streaking down the sideline, and you know, it's going to be a touchdown for Jordy Nelson or whoever. You know, Aaron Rodgers knows how to beat that. So expect Lovie Smith to, you know, go with the formula that teams have been going with here, including the Bills last week who beat the Packers. They'll know how to defend Green Bay, and the Packers are going to have their running game going this week. Eddie Lacy's going to have to get the job done on the ground, and the rest of the Packers running backs. And the Packers are going to have to hit a lot of underneath stuff. Thankfully, I think they're learning this and they're knowing how they're going to have to beat these kind of defenses. And it's not always going to be with the deep touchdown pass. Not to say you can't, but, you know, you're going to have to settle for a lot of underneath stuff against this kind of defense. So the Packers will be prepared for that. The interesting thing about the Buccaneers is, of course, they have nothing to lose from this game. This is going to be the type of team at 2-12 that's going to go for it on fourth down, the type of team that might run a trick play, the type of team that, you know, might refuse to punt, or run a fake punt. Who knows what the Buccaneers have up their sleeve? You know, they're fighting for the perhaps number one overall draft choice in next year's NFL draft. But they would be happy to spoil the Packers' day here, no doubt about it. So the Packers have to be prepared for those kind of things. And that's why, you know, special teams comes into such big play here, you know, because you could absolutely see the Buccaneers, you know, faking a punt or running a surprise onside kick. You never know what's going to come. The Packers have to be prepared for this and expecting this because, yeah, like Fred Thurston said, they've not had a lot of recent success in Tampa Bay. Aaron Rodgers has lost there during his tenure as the Packers quarterback. And albeit those Buccaneer teams were probably better than this year's edition, but it's going on the road in the NFL. It's not playing at home, even though there might be a pro Green Bay crowd there. It's still not the same. And the Packers going to have to be ready for a fight. Fortunately, I guess, if you're the Packers, and I it's not like I ever like injuries to any, I don't wish that upon anybody, but I mean, I know the Buccaneers have had some losses here in recent weeks. They've lost Gerald McCoy, fantastic defensive lineman for the season. Not facing him, that's a bonus for the Packers. Guys like Levante David, he's a beast out there at linebacker. I think he's one of the better linebackers in the NFL. Have to be ready for him, assuming he's healthy. I know he's had some health issues these past few weeks, but Packers going to have to be ready for it. And on the flip side, Packers defense going to have to keep the momentum they've been gaining since the bye. As they've started to play better, they'll be facing former Packers offensive lineman Evan Dietrich Smith this week, who will know a lot about the Packers, and I'm sure he's shared as much as he possibly can on the team with his teammates to help them beat Green Bay. The Packers just going to have to get the pass rush going for one, including Julius Peppers, who's, you know, kind of been ineffective the past 2 weeks or so. It hasn't been that way the whole season. Julius Peppers has certainly been very effective in spurts and moments this season. Just hasn't been the past 2 weeks, and he needs to get going, and hopefully the rest of the Packers defense follows his lead now that he's a playoff captain, after all, for the team. My prediction is that the Packers will double up the Buccaneers this weekend. I've got them winning 30-15 in this game. Where the 15 comes from, who knows? Like I said, there could be a going for a two-point conversion or something like that. Something crazy could happen, as opposed to just guessing 14 points. I'll say 15 for the Buccaneers because I think something crazy will happen in this game. But the more important part is the doubling up part. I can't see the Packers come away with a loss at Tampa Bay. I think they will, be very, very motivated to win this game. And like I said, come back to Green Bay for that season finale with a lot on the line and, be fired up for that game to end the season in Lambeau Field, in the friendly confines of Lambeau Field against a division rival. That'll be fun. But Packers got to take care of business first in Tampa Bay, which leads us to
the day ahead.
At 1265 Lombardi Avenue on Friday, we are waiting for the last injury report of the week, and particularly the status of offensive lineman Brian Bulaga. Through earlier this week, Brian Bulaga wasn't even at practice on Wednesday, the first day of practice this week. Nowhere to be seen. Thursday, he didn't practice, but at least he was there. He was there watching. He was taking mental reps at least. So I suppose baby steps there. But here's head coach Mike McCarthy on the status of Brian Bulaga from his press conference yesterday.
Brian Bulaga, he's in the concussion protocol. He's making progress. So he's doing good.
It's always a good sign when you can come to practice.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's a good point. Yeah, when they let him out of the building and go down to Hudson Center, that's a good thing.
So that's what Mike McCarthy has to say on Brian Bulaga, not sharing, is he going to play this weekend against the Buccaneers? We don't really know that yet. We'll find out more today when the injury report is released. Like I said, this is the day, when they say, oh, he's out, he's doubtful, he's questionable, he's probable. Today's the day we get that game day status projection. So kind of waiting to get that Friday afternoon. I think this is important because the Packers kind of ailing on the offensive line. I'm personally a little worried if J.C. Tretter would have to start and play. And I suppose if there's any team that, that for him to make his first NFL start against, I suppose it would be the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But, you watch him last week. He gives up the strip sack to Mario Williams, results in a safety, the Packers' last offensive play of the game. You're like, oh, no, J.C. Tretter's not ready for prime time yet. But, he was facing Mario Williams. Here's a guy who's, very, very talented, former number one overall draft choice that certainly wouldn't be the first person he's made look silly over the course of his career. Mario Williams, of course, blocking the field goal earlier in the game. Truly a talented guy. This is something to be concerned about and look into here. And in fact, it the concern doubles a little bit where earlier this week, Josh Sitton did not practice on Wednesday. This was the first time since week 12 that Josh Sitton sat out a practice entirely. You kind of worry about that toe a little bit. He's been dealing with that for weeks here, and you wonder, oh no, did he suffer a setback? But he has bounced back. He has been practicing. I would expect Josh Sitton to play
you know, like he has ever since, you know, the bye. But still, a little bit of a concern there. Left guard, right tackle, things to keep in mind as we work our way through the week here and get ready for this game on Sunday against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But like I said, prediction 30-15 Packers. Hopefully that comes to fruition. We'll break it all down next week on Cheesehead TV on Monday. We'll join you again, 8:30 a.m. Central Time every Monday, Wednesday, Friday here at Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central. Thank you, everybody, so much for joining us. As I always say with our call to action here at Cheesehead TV, thank you to Fred Thurston, grandson of Fuzzy Thurston, for joining us on the show. My call to action, go follow Fred Thurston on Twitter. His Twitter handle, FThurstonXXII, FThurstonXXII on Twitter. Give him a follow. Say, hey, thanks for coming on Cheesehead TV and joining us. All our content is free here. This is the one small thing we ask of you here at Railbird Central. But that'll do it for today's show. Thank you to Fred Thurston for joining us. On behalf of Jamie Snowden, Alex Talich, I'm Brian Kirvu. We'll see you later, folks. I leave you today with a song called New Country Blues by the Emmett Nershey Band on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack Go.